John chapter 8, and we appreciate the opportunity to get to be here with y'all, and it's a joy to get to be with my good friend Brother Ross. I saw his picture in that scrapbook. He's dressed up as some Bible character alongside a time machine, had his eyes all bugged out big, you know, telling some story. I said, I know that guy. Yeah, goodness. So that was neat. So you're famous. You're in the preacher's scrapbook, you know. Yes, indeed. I don't know if y'all were trying to send him back or bring him in. I hope you weren't trying to send him back. I don't know if they could handle him. Amen. But anyway, that was a blessing to see that. And the rest of the family's doing well. I appreciate your prayers for Roundup Ministries. And God is been real good to us, and we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a little while there. John chapter 8 is where we're going to begin reading here in just a moment. I wonder if the people that you hang around and you're with and you work alongside of and live next to, if they know you're a Christian. Can they tell that you're a Christian? An honest man was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy boulevard. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him, and he did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection, like our teenage drivers would do here. The tailgating woman hit the roof, hit the horn, screamed in frustration. She missed her chance to get through the intersection with him, and she was still in mid-rant, and she heard a tap on the window. She turned and looked into the face of a very serious-looking police officer. The officer ordered her to exit the car with her hands up. He took her to the police station, where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, placed in a cell. After a couple hours, the policeman approached the cell, opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk, where the arresting officer was with her personal effects, was there, and he said, "Ma'am, I'm very sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you was blowing your horn, giving hand gestures, cussing a blue streak, and I noticed the Choose Life license plate holder, the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker. I noticed the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker and the chrome-plated fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed you stole the car." "Have a great day." "That was a mistake." Yes, I hope that kind of a story wouldn't be told about you. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll read some verses here from John chapter number 8. And in verse number 25, John chapter 8 and verse number 25. Bible says, "Then they said unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you at the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake unto them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Well, I wonder if that could be said of you. Huh? Could that be said of your kids? "I do always those things that please mama and daddy." Wow, revival would break loose, wouldn't it? Huh? "I always clean my room without being told, jump up to do the dishes and chores without being asked." Jesus said, "I always do things to please my Father." Wow. It says, verse number 30, "And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done here in this place. Lord, the people that's been saved through the funeral and the folks that made decisions today and on. Thank you for what you're doing. We pray you continue to work. Now speak to our hearts tonight. Challenge us from your word. I pray that as I yield myself to you, you'd fill me with your power from on high and use me to be a help and encouragement to these people. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. The word disciple and Christian is synonymous here in these scriptures that we read. And he said in verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Your believers, your Christians. He said, you'll have this mark. I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight on three brands of the believer. I've got my brand and iron here, the Circle of the Cross brand. And the old cowboys years ago, whenever they'd have the roundups, would rope a calf and pull him over to the fire where there'd be a flanker and a brander. And the flanker would grab the calf and throw him down on his side and wrap some bacon string around his legs so he wouldn't get up and run off. And then the brander would go over to the fire and they'd have several branding irons in there, getting them real hot. And he'd come over and he'd take that branding iron and he'd place it on the part of the body. Some people put it on the seventh rib, the fifth rib, the right shoulder, left shoulder, back hip, left hip. They have different places they put their brand. And so wherever that particular outfit put their brand, he would place it there and hold it and singe it and put a permanent mark. But a permanent brand that could not be removed, that signified ownership. Then the flanker would take the ropes off the calf and turn him loose, and that signified who that calf belonged to. Well, there's some marks that the believer should have that signifies ownership. And one of the brands of the believer, Jesus said right there, he says, you know how everybody's going to know that you're a Christian? They're going to know who you belong to. One of that first brand, he says, if you continue in my word. That's right here, the book. It said, number one, the first brand of the believer is a deep love for the word of God. He said, if you continue in my word. I wonder, do you love your Bible? Paul said, he said in Galatians 6:17, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't any mistake that Paul was a Christian. Huh? There should be no mistake about, boy, they are a born-again believer. They love the Bible. Do you love your Bible? I love the Bible. The precious old Bible, that book. Huh? Do you like it? Do you take care of it? Do you read it? That tells you a lot. Now, that word he says you're supposed to continue, that means to follow on in obedience to. That's a mark, that's a brand, if you would, of the believer. Somebody once said, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. Psalms 119, verse number 97 says, Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Some people can go for weeks not read their Bible. Yes, sir. I mean, there's a lot of born-again believers come to church every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Man, they got to walk, they got to talk, they got everything down, but they're not in the book. They're not reading it. You can't maintain that lifestyle very long. A lot of people are that way. It'd surprise you if we had everybody say, how many of you read your Bible faithful this week? How many read it today? How many read it? Well, we'd be surprised at how few hands would go up. And we got to realize, hey, we've got to have a relationship with the book if we're going to survive in Christianity. The average lifespan of a church member is 5 years. And a lot of that's because they don't have no relationship with the book. Okay, they're going through motions. Boy, we need to fall in love with the Bible. Boy, this book which we have in our hands that we call the Bible, It contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners, and the happiness of the believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you. It contains food to support you, comfort to cheer you. Hey, it's the traveler's map. It's the pilgrim's staff. It's the pilot's compass. It's the soldier's sword. It's the Christian's charter. The Bible, the Word of God, our good is its design. The glory of God is its end. Hey, it ought to fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It's given you in life. It'll be opened at the judgment and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibilities, rewards the greatest labors, and condemns all who trifle with its contents. It's the word of the living God, and it is indestructible, incorruptible, indispensable, infallible, inexhaustible. The message throughout the whole Bible is salvation by faith. It was purposed and planned by the Father, accomplished by the Son, revealed by the Spirit. God thought it. Christ wrought it. The Holy Spirit brought it. The devil fought it, but I got it. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for the Bible. Boy, we ought to love this book. We ought to make a big deal of the Bible. Your kids at a very early age ought to know, boy, this Bible is true. It is the Word of God. How many times have we heard Brother House tell the story of how his mama would tell him that the Bible is the Word of God? Say it, son. Repeat it after me. The Bible's the Word of God. Huh? Your kids ought to know it. You know, that foundation ought to be deep and ought to be ingrained within us. But we've got to make a big deal of the Bible, because what you do with the book will determine what God does with you. You know, we ought to have such a love for it that if we read it and we said, boy, you know what? Lord, I love you so much, and I see what it tells me to do. I'm going to do what it says. Standards shouldn't be a duty. They ought to be a delight. When you love the book, it'll be that way. Boy, praise the Lord for the Bible. Thank God for it. Abraham Lincoln made this statement. He said, in regard to the great book, I have only to say that it is the best gift which God has given to men. Oh, would we have a president that could say that again? Amen. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Somebody once said, no one is truly educated who lacks knowledge of the Bible. D.L. Moody said, when we read the Bible, God talks with us. When we pray, we talk with God, and we need to do most of the listening. See, Charles Spurgeon said, the Bible is to many God's unopened letter. G. Campbell Morgan said, the Bible can be read through in 60 hours. Huh. It don't take much time. Bible, if you read the Bible through 20 minutes a day, you can read it through in 6 months. Just 20 minutes a day, but very few read their Bible. Oh, would to God that there would be a brand of the believer in you that say, boy, number one, you'll continue in the book. Amen. You'll love the book. You have a relationship with the book. You'll memorize the book. You'll make a big deal of the Bible. I see another mark of the believer I want to show you, though, this evening. Take your Bible and look there in John. In fact, by the way, in John chapter 8, verse number 37, he says, I know ye Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. They want to kill Jesus. And he said, my word hath no place for you. No room. No room. Many people have no room for Jesus. No room for the Bible. I'm just full. I'm busy. I got a lot of things going on. I hope that wouldn't be said of you, because backsliding always starts when you lay down the Word of God. Moms and dads, I hope your kids see you read the Bible. It did my heart good. Got up one morning early, one went downstairs, and there KW was 9 years old, and he was little back then. He's big now, but he's little back then. He's sitting at the table reading his Bible. I said, KW, what are you doing? He says, Daddy, said, I just woke up early and I thought I'd come down and read my Bible. Well, that did my heart good to see just a child have a love for the Word of God. I hope you do. Look in John chapter 13. And let's look at another brand of the believer. The first one is a deep love for the Bible, the Word of God. John chapter 13, verse number 34. The Bible says, A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So the first brand, he says, everybody's going to know that you're one of mine if you continue in the word, you love the book. He said another way that people are going to know that you're a born-again believer, that brand, that mark, is going to be, number two, a love for other people. You'll love each other. Huh? See, you won't love other Christians until you first love the book. See? I mean, you know, many times Christians have a rough way of showing their love. I was at a church not long ago and heard the story of a young lady who came and visited that church, young married couple. And she came in and she sat in about the fourth row. And one of the church members, preacher, been there 20 years, came up and told that young lady, she said, "You're going to have to move. You're sitting in my spot. I have been in this church for 20 years and I've always sat there. You're going to have to find someplace else to sit." And I'm thinking, wait a minute. No, this didn't happen. I mean, we're talking about an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. Preacher's a good friend of mine. I says, "You're kidding. That somebody would do that? I just can't even conceive that." She said, "No." She said, "I was there. I saw it. I figured that young lady would get up and leave." And you know what? She said, looked at her and says, "No." She said, "I got here first, and that's where I'm sitting." I thought, praise the Lord. Somebody's got some grit to stand up to them fruitcakes. Amen? Every church has got bugs. You know these. You know the. You know around the light. You know all the bugs come in at night. A lot of churches have them kind of bugs. You know, they're just. And I thought, you got to be kidding. She said this. Said, yeah. And so she said, "In fact, while I was there, I saw that young lady, that couple that had tried to oust her out of her seat, had come in late for the service, and they came in and sat down in front of her. And you know what she did?" She was behind them. We were singing a song. Songbooks was open. And they came. And just show you the love of Christ. They came and sat in front of her. You know what she did with her songbook? Bam! No, she didn't do that. She thought I was going to throw it. She took that songbook and ran up there and handed it to him. Reached down, got her songbook. And I thought, she's a better Christian than I am. I'd set it down so they could sit on it, amen? Have a seat. And I thought, you know what? That's a true Christian. She's being nice to them people. You know, I'm thinking she's giving kindness back to those that were hateful and were out of line. And that shouldn't happen. Listen, somebody sits in your seat, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Man, that's good. You know, you shouldn't be running people away. Man, there ought to be a brand in you that there's a love for the brethren. There's family in church. I've been going to this church for years. And if there was a person in the church that thought of others, this lady did. If you had a birthday, you got a card. Anniversary, you got a card. And she would find out your favorite things, and she would have a gift, not just a card, but a gift and other things. And she would sacrifice, she would give, she would work, she cleaned the church. And it seemed like everybody took advantage of her. And year after year after year, people forgot her birthday. Nobody ever did nothing for her anniversary. Finally, she got discouraged, went through a tough time. She missed a church service. Nobody called her. Nobody said nothing. Missed another church service. You know what happened? They just forgot about her. She'd been gone for a month, and nobody even made one phone call. And she was a vital part of that church. But she got discouraged and went through a tough time, and nobody reached out to her. Nobody thought of her. Nobody. You know what? She ain't come back to church since. Was it right? No. But all of us go through times whenever we need somebody to encourage us. All of us go through times when we need somebody to pick us up and say, pick up the phone and say, "Hey, I missed you. Where was you at?" All of us go through times where we need somebody to to reach out to us whenever that we're down, need somebody to encourage us and somebody to say, well, thank you, preacher, for that message. Boy, it's good to see you today. Man, do people know that you love them? She didn't feel like the people, she didn't feel like the church cared. And I thought, that's a shame to have lost such a wonderful person. But she just felt like nobody cared. Oh, we need to love the brethren. We need to, hey, pray for them. Let them know you're praying for them. Find out what their needs are. Huh? When they got a need, come running. Here it was, young lady in the church. In fact, that same lady I was telling you about who was sitting in somebody else's spot, hardly anybody being friendly to her. And I thought, I can't believe she's rolled it out this long. And she got sick. She had got gallstones real bad. And she called one person in the church that befriended her. She called up that person and asked whether she'd come over. Her husband was in the military. Her husband was away at a school. She was home by herself. And she called that church member. And that church member, that young lady, went over, stayed up all night with her when she was in such terrible pain. I thought, you know what? I'm glad she felt like she could call somebody. She called the person that she knew who cared. If somebody was in a dire need, if somebody really needed some help, would they feel like they could call you? Well, that narrows things down quite a bit, don't it? To know. That's a mark of the brethren, that there's a love for each other. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. I tell you what, them fighting fundamentalists, get on that fighting fundamentalist forum, boy, they'll start killing each other. Man, I tell you what, it's crazy out there. I just don't get involved in that junk. I ain't got time to be fussing and fighting and being critical and running people down. Us Baptists seem to be the only ones to kill their wounded. Brother Ross ain't the enemy. These other preachers ain't the enemy. We're on the same team. There should be love for the brethren. He says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, is that you got love for one another. That's a brand of the believer. No mistake about that. No mistake. You know what we need is some unity in our churches. And we'd have it if people would start loving each other. Discord. Bible says in Proverbs, I think it's 6 or 16 there, these six things that the Lord hate, ye seven abomination. And the last one is sowing discord among the brethren. Boy, you know what? You get a church that loves each other, right? There won't be any discord. People be getting along. Now, I don't know a whole lot about the piano. I played a little bit, took a few lessons, but nothing worse than somebody sitting at the piano, discord. Nothing just, the pianist right now is about ready to have a heart attack, you know, just like, it's terrible, like a recital, some of the recitals you go to. But now, when you play chords, there's unity there. One accord. Boy, God gives some churches that'd be in one accord. They could make beautiful music. Them churches that you don't want to go back to are in discord. They're in disharmony. Everybody's fussing and fighting about stuff. Hey, I tell you what, we don't have time to fuss and fight. Amen. We need to learn to get along and to love each other and rejoice with those that rejoice. Amen? That's what happens when somebody... You know, I got an email from Brother Eddie Lapina, youth director, coordinator at First Baptist, and he sent me a picture of his big buck he shot. And I thought, I'm glad he felt like that I would be somebody who would rejoice with him. I called him up and said, Brother Eddie, he shot him on Saturday morning at opening just 30 minutes into the hunt. He shot this great big old 10-point, 150-plus class deer. Biggest deer ever. Oh, he's so excited. Man, his first really big deer. He was so excited. Sent me that. And I said, Brother Eddie, I says, it's about time. I'm so happy for you. That's wonderful. Isn't it fun when you got somebody that will rejoice with you? Instead of being envious, like, where'd you get him at? That's my deer. You're probably hunting out of my stand. I spotlighted him. That's what I did. A love one for another. Let me give you the last one here. These brands of the believer. Number one, there'll be a deep love for the Word of God. Continue in the book. He said, everybody will know you're one of mine. How else will everybody know? He said, if there's love one for another, by this shall all men know you're one of mine. Third one I'll show you is look there in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, a couple chapters over there. John chapter 15 and verse number 8. Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. He said, you want to show people and show the world that you're one of mine? He says, you'll have fruit. You will have some fruit. Bearing fruit. Now, I'm not supposed to judge people, but I can be a fruit inspector to kind of tell who and what's what. And that's one of the brands of the believer, is the fact that they would bear fruit. The Bible says in James 2 that faith without works is dead. You'll not love the lost until you first love your Christian brother. And you won't love your Christian brother if you don't first love the book. It follows that order. They're in that order. I wonder, do you care enough about people to tell them the old, old story? I was preaching up in New Jersey. Up there, that's a funny place up there. Man, I tell you, they talk funny. And I was up there preaching. And in this church, little Oriental girl, her name was Jamie. And found out an unbelievable story about Jamie. She had been in the States for just 2 or 3 years, learned English real quick, how young kids will pick up on it. And she come to the church there, got saved. And she started the Jesus Bible Club. The Jesus Bible. And after school, she'd invite her friends over to her house to the Jesus Bible Club one day a week, every week, same day. And she would load up her van, her mom's van. She wasn't driving at 8. She was load up her mom's van with all these friends, bringing 12 and 13 kids in a minivan in New Jersey. Just cram them under the seats everywhere, man. She'd bring in and open the door, and all these Oriental kids would be piling out of there. And she'd seen a bunch of people saved. And the preacher said, unbelievable. He says, that little girl, every week she has this. And he says, she comes up. Now, she's 9 years old, and she's bringing kids 10, 12-year-old. And she's got this Bible club, and he said, she has a program. When they get to the house, he said, she's got a program. She has songs. She has games. She has a story. I'm thinking, at 9 years old, whoa, you just wait to what she's going to turn out to be. Wow. Man, some missionary evangelist better get a hold of her, man. I said, what an unbelievable worker. What a wonderful young lady that had such a heart. And I took a picture of her while I was there. There's about 12 kids, and every one of them kids were reached by that girl. Got saved because she invited them to come over to her Jesus Bible Club. I thought, unbelievable. And she had to go back to her home country. And that preacher says, man, I'm going to miss that girl. She brought visitors all the time. There was no mistake that she was a Christian. She bore much fruit. I thought, wow, what a blessing to have church members like that. Have a little girl that had such a heart for the lost, wanting them to get saved. I tell you, we need to bear in our body these marks, these brands. Here this fall, 2009, boy, God's really blessed. One of our greatest aspects of our ministry that I enjoy so much is helping churches have a big day, the big roundup Sundays and the anniversary Sundays. And we were out west in a tour of meetings here this fall with Brother Mike Ray out there in Napa, California. And last time we was there, he broke his all-time record and had about 1,400 people and had about 300 saved. We was out there this year, and he had over 1,200, had 238 people saved. people everywhere. I mean, it was just such a thrill to be able to see all them people saved. And we went over to Sacramento and was over there with Steve Nichols, and he's got Lyme's disease, and his health is bad, and they've really been through it, and the devil's just really fighting against that church in Sacramento, but there's such a need. And he's just plugged and plugged and plugged. It was their 16th anniversary. They were praying for 400, had 500 come in. Man, they worked hard, had 100 people show up for visitation on that Saturday, passed out over 5,000 flyers. Man, that Sunday morning they came in. I mean, God blessed. And the place was packed out. They had every facility, every room. They had 200 kids sitting outside in chairs under a big tree in the parking lot because they just had nowhere to put them. And there was preaching services going on simultaneously. I was preaching to the adults in the auditorium. We had 35 adults walk the aisle. 35. The preacher's wife come in and saw the auditorium and says, "Where's our people?" And then she realized, they're everywhere else holding services. Over 80% of the auditorium was first-time visitors. Couldn't believe it. I had my jail set up in the auditorium. I had my pistol. That's why so many got saved. I was to shoot you right now, where you go to heaven. we had that jail set up, and I preached on how to get out of jail. Jesus is got a pardon for you. Boy, 35 come. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, wow. Praise the Lord. God blessed. Many folks, one man came up to me outside. We was running the Cowboy Carnival. He come up. He said, remember Brother Walker? He says, I want to thank you for that message. He said, I needed that. He said, I was one of the ones that got saved today. Amen. I thought, what a blessing. Amen. That's nothing more thrilling than to have a part in seeing somebody get saved. That's one of the brands of the believer. They like it when the service goes long because somebody's getting baptized. Think maybe we could go and then you just baptize them when they get ready instead of singing this song. A lot of people are that way, aren't they? They just want to just punch in, punch out. Somebody gets saved. You preacher reads names of people getting saved. Better hurry up. We're going to have a long line at Ryan's. I don't think they've been branded. Because people that are branded, they get mad when the evangelist hits the pulpit with the branding iron. Left my mark. Supposed to bear the marks. And it's got my mark right there. Three brands of the believer. He said, by this, everybody's going to know you're one of mine. You'll continue in the book. You'll love the Bible. You'll love others. And you'll love the lost. You'll bear fruit. We all need to be actively involved in trying to reach somebody. You'll be so glad that you did. And you have somebody to say thank you. Thank you. When he came up and said thank you, I thought if he was the only one that got saved today, that would have been worth it. All that hard work, all the energy, all the sweat, everything that's involved, I said it was worth it. And his wife came up. She said, preacher, she said, I'm saved. She said, I married wrong. I married an unsaved man. Ruined my family. My kids don't know the Lord. She was brokenhearted. That's why, girls, you better make sure you marry right. And she didn't marry right, but she said, I'm so glad that he got saved. Been a long time coming. Whew. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. The brands of the believer. We need to be branded unmistakable where they know who we belong to. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the people that have loved us and invested in us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to examine ourselves in light of your word. Lord, tonight, we just press the reset button on maybe some areas we've fallen short, something that we just need to shore up. Lord, I pray especially if there's somebody here tonight that don't know for sure they're going to heaven, they've never accepted you as their Savior, I pray that tonight they'd make life's most important decision to accept you and to put their faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray tonight there would be evidence, there would be marks, brands, if you would, that the people that we brush shoulders with, that were around, would say, hey, you're a Christian. You're smiling. Well, you got a good spirit. Lord, they'd be able to tell we're one of yours. Bless now. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure you go to heaven, just a moment we'll stand, the invitation will begin, and I urge you, plead with you that you just leave your seat, come down to the front. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know you go to heaven. If you're here tonight, God spoke to you and challenged you, maybe about one of these brands. Maybe you've not been reading your Bible like you ought to, your relationship with the book. Maybe it's love for the brethren, or it's bearing fruit. I don't know what it is. Whatever God spoke to you about, you obey the Lord tonight.